Soy Gold.
You know, the Party of Freedom. At it again.
Soy Gold.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Soy Gold. Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Wednesday. It's another sunny, over 32, over freezing March day, which we're very happy about because it's only going to last a couple more days.
Snow's coming tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
We just booked our flights. I don't even think I've told you this yet. We're going to California in April.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited for, unless it snows there too, because apparently that's now a possibility in this new brave new world.
It might not be snowing, but it might be flooding and mudsliding. Yes. Yes.
Probably no fires. So that's good.
That's a plus. Yeah.
Jane Manair, how are you doing this morning?
I am great. Sunshine, as you say, always makes for a good day.
Always makes for a good day. Mm-hmm. And it's also a good day because Greg Bach is here.
Yes.
I am here.
It is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday.
With flowy hair.
Your hair is looking very extra luxurious today.
Thank you. It's the volumizing conditioner I use.
What is it? Not it's not Pantene Pro-V?
It is Pantene, but but I don't use the 2-in-1 because I'm not a plebe.
That's what Mike uses. I'm pretty sure
well,
Mike
he has short
uses
hair.
Horse and mane.
Yeah, he uses...
Horse and tail, or isn't it horse and tail? Or is it horse and mane?
I thought it was horse and... Mane and tail.
Mane and tail.
Is that a shampoo for horses, or is that just some hipster name where like you go to like a bar where it's like, we're going to the Elephant and Hammer. We're going to have a craft cocktail, everybody, and wash our hair.
No, it's actually shampoo for horses, which people use.
Oh, actually, do
Is it actually shampoo for...
Oh,
I always thought it was a joke that it was like a men's... all-in-one, like, body wash and hair wash that is, like, the worst thing you could do for your hair.
I thought I used it for COVID.
We've just started, guys.
We're going straight to the top, baby.
Originally formulated for horses, discovered by humans. Mane and tail, original
discovered
shampoo
by...
and conditioner.
Well, I feel
so
it was
shampoo and conditioner. It's not body wash and...
It's not body wash, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what?
It is for if you're a horse.
Leave it to a guy who'd be like, well, it washes my hair, so I can just wash my body. What do I care? I got to shower and get to work. My father used to wash his hair with soap, okay? So.
Like Dial soap?
Yeah. Irish Spring.
Irish.
My hair smells like Ireland.
All right. Well, what do we have coming up today?
What?
So it is, Jane, happy International Women's Day.
And to you.
Yay.
And to all women everywhere.
Yes.
I had my Facebook memories popped up this morning and said, reminded me at some point in the last probably 10 years, I... very poetically posted a little image at one point that said, empowered women, empower women.
Boy.
That's a pillow right there.
That's a bumper sticker and a tote bag and a coffee mug.
So I feel like that's going to be the whole hour at noon. We're going to do international women's adjacent topics. And one of them, I think, is kind of like my evolution with, if we want to call this a holiday, because I feel like in past years, and I have some stories as far as it being a bigger thing, but now it's just kind of like, I don't know, we have another show to do. We're going to talk about it, but it's not as, it doesn't like strike a chord anymore of like texting all of my girlfriends, happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think it's a great thing, but I also feel like nowadays with Black History Month, Women's History Month, Pride Month, it's all like corporatized and monetized and... I feel like people who are affected are like, yeah, that's great. I got to go to work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we're going to spend it hasn't been a great year for women.
That was going to be my point. It's like, I don't know that there's a whole bunch to celebrate.
Yeah, not just in this country, but in a lot of countries, not a great time in the last year as far as advancement of women's rights. So we're going to spend the noon hour talking about that. In the 1 o'clock hour, I'm so excited to see what people say for this. So I already posted this to Twitter. But what was a very special episode, all caps, of a television show, of a sitcom. So a sitcom that chose to not have a to have a serious episode to address a serious topic that impacted your life or impacted you. Like you still remember, it left an impression on you. It changed you, how you thought about things. Because drama, I think, sometimes does that with a lot of its shows. But like sitcom, it was always, especially in the, I mean, this is decades. My memory of this is my prime sitcom watching years, which was the 90s. But I'm sure we have a lot of stories that go back even further. So we're doing that at one, and we definitely want people calling in, telling us their very special episode. but to kick off the newsy hour, vaccines.
They're back, baby.
But not the one that you're thinking
of. Nope.
And yet, I'll tell this story quickly. So I made my How Wisconsin Went video last night, and I talked about this story, and I specifically said, vaccines, but not COVID. And yet, still, that video, I think, whatever algorithm picks up on that word is like, yeah, we're not going to show this to anyone.
Oh.
And so, because in Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers put forth a proposal for students for a meningitis vaccine, which I got to be totally honest, didn't know that was a thing. Don't know if I have one. Should probably look it up. But that students by seventh grade should have two doses of the meningitis vaccine, and that they're going to strengthen or tighten the mandate on chickenpox vaccine, basically because right now schools can kind of just take parents' word for it on whether or not their kids had chickenpox versus having some kind of proof that
a
was
piece
like
of paper.
Yeah, like diagnosed by a medical professional. Like, yes, you have chickenpox. Yeah. Yes, you are now immune. And this was a proposal for a policy that looks like it is going to be blocked by the Rules Committee led by Steve Nass and the GOP.
Yeah.
Can't spell Nass without what? Okay.
And the way the I read the write-up on this in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and WPR, and especially the one in Journal Sentinel on some of the quotes that happened in the hearing yesterday.
And it was 9 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the quote from Steve Nass. How can I trust you? Committee co-chairman Senator Steve Nass, a Republican from Whitewater, said to Westergaard, who's the head of the health department in Wisconsin, during the day-long hearing that often focused on the coronavirus pandemic. Honest to God, when I see you, I refer to you as Wisconsin's Dr. Fauci. It's like that quote, just I feel like there's so much contempt in it.
Yep.
And resentment. And it's like a blinding, like for something, like, I don't know about you. I don't want to like play my cards with meningitis. Like, let's just like play the odds to see how that turns out. Cause I don't know a lot about meningitis, but it seems like a really crappy way to die.
Especially, I mean, it's about the kids too. Like, that's the other thing too, is like, they're like, we got to protect the kids. Okay, cool. Get your vaccines for your kids. Well, no. Well, let's not. Okay. And say protect the kids that much.
Well, especially because at least from reading this, the meningitis one's been recommended since 2005. So it's not like it's new.
No.
And I didn't see what the time, because I mean, we're probably all of the age that you just got chickenpox.
Yes.
I don't think you had it twice? How did that happen?
I'm not very responsible as a child.
How old were you when you got it? I thought once you had it once, you couldn't get it again.
You can get it a second time. Yeah, you can get it a second time. And I did. I got it twice. Because, hey, you know what? That makes me a special boy.
Do you have any chickenpox scars?
I don't think so, no.
I think I have like two or three. Scars. Like the one chicken, like I feel like it's like patient zero on your body that was like the worst chicken pox. And then it leaves a little scar on your body the entire life. I had one on my cheek.
Oh, where is it now?
I got makeup on.
Oh.
You can't see it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know where my chicken pox
scar.
My ground pox.
So I guess, I mean, at the core of this is basically, I think at the core of this, it seems like there is resentment towards This is like holding out resentment that's been built up since COVID lockdowns, mm-hmm. pushing the COVID vaccine, and now is bleeding over into more vaccines that we know work and we know protect kids. There was another group there testifying against it. Seems like a pretty... It's this group called Wisconsin United for Freedom. I love how they always have names like that.
Well, you got to have freedom in there somewhere. It's usually completely the opposite of what the group represents.
And I mean, because it just goes back to the idea, and I know way less about how meningitis spreads. Obviously, I know chickenpox is so contagious.
Yes.
But that the efficacy of vaccines goes down the less people who have them. And so I understand if you care about your kid and you believe in science, well, then you go get the vaccine. Any vaccine that we're apparently now talking about, not just the new one being COVID.
Yeah.
But it's like that missing step that feels like, well, no, like that helps some, but also like we all need to be in this together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for some reason that just like that last step of understanding how this works as a public health tool is lost on some people.
Well, is it really lost on them, or is it just a low rent form of rebelling? They couldn't do it. I mean, like most people aren't mandated to get the vaccine unless you worked for a company that made you do that. But like, this is their way of pushing back because they know they're going to have the support of people who are like, yeah, totally. I don't want my freedom taken away from me. And it's just easy. Like if this recommendation would have happened 3 years ago, most Republicans, I would guess, not care that much.
And now you're just free to get meningitis.
Yep. And I looked it up too. Meningitis is spread by, sharing of respiratory or throat secretions. It says kissing, coughing are good examples. It's not as contagious as the flu or cold, but it's still contagious. Yeah. And you send a kid to school, they're getting sick with whatever's going around. And if it's meningitis, your kid's probably getting a meningitis.
It just sounds awful. All right, we're going to keep the conversation going. If you have thoughts on what we're talking about with the vaccines, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna kill my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and he is Mr. Greg Bach. And we are asking, why do you think there's pushback? Is it retribution and resentment, or is it actually just the belief that the government should not be able to say you and your kids have to be vaccinated? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party!
Because this is in context of, it looks like all signs show that the GOP-controlled Rules Committee is going to block a policy that would mandate that seventh graders have a meningitis vaccine and that you have to have more confirmation that your kid has actually had chickenpox if they have not gotten the chickenpox vaccine for them to go to school. And
can I just say, from what I understand, one of the reasons why they wanted that confirmation by a doctor is because sometimes parents misdiagnose and don't realize that their kids have had chickenpox. So
is there more of an error that they think that they have, even though they haven't, or that they have had it, but they don't think that they've had it?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
But from what I understand, that's why they wanted this.
That's interesting. I feel like every picture I've ever seen, because I think I was 2 or 3 when I got chickenpox, there's no mistaking that it's not chickenpox. Like, I am covered.
Yeah. There must be milder cases, I assume.
My kid has toddler acne. That's what it is. It's toddler acne.
A walking strawberry.
Yeah.
We have a text from 608. can't wait as a healthcare hero to get eviscerated by angry parents when their kid gets meningitis. Their misinformed decisions always end up being our fault.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And that is, it just, I mean, the little I know about it, it seems like a, because it's basically brain swelling.
And it's a viral infection, meningitis is.
And I remember, what was I reading? This was a while ago now, but this was maybe early 2021 of an account of a doctor who exactly what the 608 text just said was basically like they were recounting, and it was basically her last straw, and then she quit because it was a family that was, their loved one was going to die from COVID because he did not get vaccinated. But they, even in the last hours that he was alive, screaming at the doctor and just, you're like, you know, all these alternative medicines and stuff. I'm just like, and just losing it, obviously, because they're grieving. But also it's the, I told you so.
Yeah.
And you can't say that in the moment. But it's, yeah, absolutely. I'm a situation like this where you're like, well, my kid's not vaccinated. And then once they get sick.
Save them.
Yes.
Yeah. Save my child.
They also said in the article that the percentage of kids who met the minimum requirements have gone down 3.2% in the past year. And that just, and
say that again.
It says the school immunization.
Is this in Wisconsin?
Yes. Data for 2021 to 2022 school year shows 88.7% of kids met the minimum requirements for the vaccination, down 3.2% the year before. And I mean, I have to imagine that's also a sense of like, you know, you don't need to get vaccinated. Don't make my kid get vaccinated. But the other thing about this, like meningitis, chickenpox opens you up to other ailments down the road. Mm-hmm. Like I had pneumonia. When you get pneumonia, you have a better chance of getting, because your immune system doesn't heal completely ever. So if you get chickenpox, you are open to things like the shingles and things of that nature. So if you let your children get meningitis, if, you know, if they don't get horribly sick, or they will, like, what does that lead them down the road as they grow up to other viruses, diseases, things like that? I mean, you're just being irresponsible.
And it's also interesting to think, like, even zooming out more, as I learned more about what's happening with universal school choice and vouchers in Florida, which is, you know, for now. I mean, this is a thing. We live in this world now where at least we have a divided government where certain things are just not going to happen here for now. But if you zoom out and there are mandates in school, the more and more people, especially if they have the option of having some kind of voucher that pays for them to just homeschool their kid or send them to some other progressive, you know, whatever they consider a freedom-loving charter school or whatever, and like just the continued self-segregation beyond where we're already at of parenting styles and kind of the decentralization of
logic,
how kids experience life, not only in the same country, but in the same like community, just based on what the lack of any kind of regulations anymore on like, this is what we've decided as a society is good for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for all the vaccine doubters, I would just like to remind you of all of the things that were allegedly going to happen to people who got the COVID vaccine. I am still waiting to become magnetic. I'm ticked.
I'm waiting for my DNA to be reworked.
Well, because what is the big complaint is when it was first pushed, for, you know, with their words, and I don't know, it was pushed. Let's be honest, it was pushed. But a lot of us willingly and wanted to get it. It was kind of the first sales pitch was that it was going to reduce your likelihood of like contracting COVID at all,
mm-hmm.
which then was proven to not be true.
Yeah.
What it did do was severely lessen the symptoms of how bad it was once you got it. And so, I mean, the data is certainly there as far as who was getting, who was getting hospitalized and who was dying, and the differences between people who were vaccinated versus not vaccinated were stark. But I think but the only thing I can really, that actually has evidence behind it as far as people who are like mad about the vaccine, was that it just didn't prevent you from getting it, yeah, which was what the original sale was. So, all right, well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, Dan Kelly had a lot of bad press this week, and I just want to read some of it. That's it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Happy Wednesday, March 8th. It is beautiful, at least in southeastern Wisconsin, and we're holding on until the snow comes tomorrow night. How bad is it going to be? Like another? Is it
4 to 6?
Okay, but not like, oh, we can't drive, and you don't know.
Well, again, it's going to happen Thursday night into Friday morning.
All right,
and they say possibly 6 to 8 along the lake. So we'll see how the crews can do. It's going to be that really heavy, wet stuff again, which is...
It's so fun to shovel.
It's so fun, yes. But it's, you know, it's a spring snow. So we're going to talk to Corey Hartman tomorrow. He's our resident engineer whiz and weather guy.
And he wears his sunglasses at night.
He does. I believe so. And he's going to join us tomorrow to tell us what we can expect. But again, the winter storm watch for most of southeastern Wisconsin kicks in tonight at, or tomorrow at 6.
All right. Well, enjoy today while you can.
Exactly. Go for a walk.
I did go for a walk yesterday.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's wrap up the conversation we were having about vaccines, because Jane, you said some people weighed in.
We do. And we this is specific to Wisconsin Republicans. Surprise. don't want to require meningitis vaccinations for kids, seventh graders, I believe. So the 414 checking in at 844-967-2789. My youngest daughter had spinal meningitis. It was a couple of years before the vaccine was available. She lost her hearing on one side. Like, why play Russian roulette with your kids? Get the vaccines, save your child. Anastasia's sitting in with me as a new producer, and mentioned too that yes, meningitis can cause deafness.
I see. Yeah.
So I just want to say this. We have people passing laws to keep children from drag queens because they feel like they're a problem, but we can't say, let's get our kids vaccinated, because that's just, drag queens are more important, mm-hmm, to protect them from.
Well, the drag queens are more dangerous.
Oh my gosh.
And Eric from Tosa, checking in on the text line. If I'm hearing this correctly and the Wisconsin GOP doesn't shoot it down, will the cost of this required vaccine be covered for everyone, even those without private health insurance? Will Medicaid or BadgerCare cover these? This is often a reason that outbreaks happen. Some communities aren't included in the government's PSA campaign. Some states don't cover the cost of all vaccines for poor people.
That was not covered in the article I read. Mm-mm. As far as, nope, when it comes to, is like tetanus covered?
I think tetanus is something you get when you're a little kid, when you just, you're part of your first shots you get.
Well, that's what I mean. So for some of these things, especially if there's a mandate around it, is it something you have to pay for, even though you have to get it?
I couldn't say for certain.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Eric.
And I do feel like if the state's going to require it, then the state should be on the hook for it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like public health 101, right? If this is the investment and of what is best for the community's health, mm-hmm, how do you like gatekeep that by making people pay for it? And if they have insurance, I guess, sure, you can stick it on the insurance company, but that can't be a prohibitive blocker,
yeah,
from getting it.
I agree. Yep.
I'll have to look into it.
We will do some more, and we're going to try and get someone on who can just talk to us about meningitis and what it is and what it can do.
It's a terrifying name.
And it's a terrifying disease.
It makes my spine hurt when you say the word meningitis.
Spinal meningitis?
Yeah. It makes my whole body just go, oh, God.
Scary.
All right. Well, moving on to something entirely different. I don't even know. If anyone ever wrote something this damning about me, because it's one thing to, it's like partisan hacks, not partisan hacks, but like partisan attacks, and the other campaign is questioning your credibility or, you know, attacking your policies or maybe even doing dirty things as far as your past and your family and stuff. But there was an op-ed in Wisconsin State Journal this week by Steph Tye, and I think it's pronounced last name Lee. How do you think you spell it?
I think it's Tahiri. There we are. Okay.
Sure. To both lawyers.
Sorry.
I know. We just butchered that. I should have practiced before. But Ty is a law professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School and teaches administrative law, environmental law, and advanced contracts. And Lee is a Milwaukee native, but now teaches in and researches Chinese law and comparative law at Florida State University College of Law. And they wrote this piece that is titled, "Even Conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court Justices Have Scolded Daniel Kelly for Poor Judgment," which I feel like there's a lot of these other lines that could have been, because some of the things they write in here are, I don't know, regardless of left versus right, Democrat-backed versus Republican-backed, like, they use evidence as far as his time when he was on the Wisconsin Supreme Court that make him sound so incompetent that it's like, how is this not running on every commercial right now?
Yeah.
So we're just going to read some of it, because I don't even know. We might read all of it, because there's so much in there that just feels... embarrassing.
Give it an accent.
So, as legal scholars interested in the coherent development of state law, we are deeply troubled by the candidacy of Daniel Kelly for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Kelly, a former high court justice, has a history of poor legal reasoning from his previous time on the bench. Of the 32 published Kelly opinions, 21 drew at least one dissenting opinion. That's a lot.
That seems high.
That's more than half.
It's a shocking proportion of cases in which then-Justice Kelly failed to write an opinion that was persuasive to his colleagues. They go on. Dissenting opinions can be common on a contentious court, as is the case in the current U.S. Supreme Court. But Kelly's opinions draw dissents not just because of ideological or political differences, but because of his poorly reasoned and irresponsible nature of his judging.
Well, that's reassuring.
Kelly's colleagues on the state Supreme Court pinpoint basic judicial errors, such as misreading simple language in a statute, ignoring straightforward statutory interpretations in favor of tortured ones, and misapplying judicial precedent. So, like, just basically not
qualified,
good at his job.
So, yeah, I just want to point out one thing real quick. Just so everyone who doesn't know, Daniel Kelly, before the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, never served as a judge. This says a lot.
Maggie Dawn was on earlier with Earl Ingram.
Uh-huh.
The wonderful and one and only Maggie
Dawn. I know,
she's
so good.
Who I'm calling one of my best friends, even though that's not true, just because I love her so much. But she pointed out the same thing. He has never argued a case. He has never prosecuted a case. He was appointed by Scott Walker to be on the Supreme Court. And like Jennifer Doro, is a graduate of the same law school.
But here's a really fun fact as I was doing some digging. So it's Pat Robertson's Regent University School of Law, which Pat Robertson, you know, the OG Righteous Gemstone, the original.
Whoa.
Oh, nice.
What a reference.
And, media mogul, minister, whatever.
Televangelist.
And started this university. And the university, I think it was established in 1981 or 82. And Kelly went there from 88 to 91. But Regents School of Law was not accredited by the ABA until 1996.
Can someone cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song?
He willingly went to a law school that was not accredited by the American Bar Association and graduated before they were, and then eventually went on to be appointed to Wisconsin's highest court, which there's another piece of bad press because I'm not done with this article yet. But Bruce Murphy and Murphy's Law for Urban Milwaukee also wrote an article this week outlining Walker's bizarre choice for a high court and for high court when he appointed Kelly, saying that there's 15,000 lawyers. And I think it was less that, all right, so he's never been a judge before. To me, that seems like a big deal, but maybe this is, I guess there's also Supreme Court justices in the past of the U.S. Supreme Court who've also not been judges before they were appointed.
You don't have to be a lawyer to be a Supreme Court judge.
That's wild.
You can just be a dude.
Anyways, but he
well,
lays
now I
out,
know what I'm shooting for next year.
I know. Bruce Murphy lays out why it was such a weird choice to have to pick Kelly back in 2016. But back to this article. Anyways, I still can't get over the fact that he went to a non... It's accredited now. It was not when he graduated.
Yes, but don't forget, a whole bunch of Trump's judicial appointees did not have the okay from the ABA.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. It's more than five, certainly. They were deemed not qualified by the American Bar Association, and he still seated them on the bench. So apparently the Bar Association is just one of those... Who cares what they think?
It's kind of like the AMA, right? The American Medical Association.
Expert schmexperts.
This is what I want to do, so we're just going to do that. All right, so back to the Wisconsin State Journal op-ed. So they go on, because it's one thing to say, oh, the other liberal justices on the court dissented. That was not the case. It was the conservative justices, including... Justice Patience Rogensack, who is the person who is retiring. So she is also conservative. So she dissented five times from Kelly's opinions and wrote separate concurring opinions in five others. In State versus Brantner, Rogensack concurred with the result, but filed a separate, sharply critical opinion. This is what she wrote. Part of our obligation as Supreme Court justices is to take complicated legal issues and decide them in a way that simplifies and explains them. I write in concurrence because the majority opinion does the opposite. It takes a simple issue, possession, and makes it complicated. It also has the potential to confuse the meaning of possession, which is employed throughout Wisconsin's criminal code. And so then this was a different case. As far as terminating parental rights of a chronically absentee father, and she was citing structural error. And so structural error is not a legal rabbit that a court can pull out of its hat and thereby avoid a thorough examination of the record and the legal principles that must be reviewed when a parent's rights are terminated. Yet, that is just what the majority opinion has done today when it creates this new structural error never before recognized by the United States Supreme Court or by this court.
What a legal eagle he is. Wow.
And it goes on just to basically, then there's one from Justice Ziegler that there was basically one where she was saying how this is either remarkable or unremarkable. But it could be remarkable because this court has basically never done this before. So it's like example after example as far as him just getting the law wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they end it with, Kelly is a poor lawyer who lacks any sense of temperament. The Wisconsin Supreme Court and the people of Wisconsin deserve better.
That's the banner on the ad that should be running everywhere.
And I kind of was like, is that, because I don't feel like in campaigns I'm seeing, or messaging I'm seeing, him being unqualified is the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, this is mostly about abortion.
Yes.
And is that it was really like him being this unqualified or this kind of fringe? Because this was one of the articles in Murphy's Law was basically how he, my computer's freaking out, how he's written things where it's like, it's not the U.S. Constitution that's all supreme. It's God. Anyways, we got to take another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. So wanted and I'm never alone. Shack Wagon is the place to be. So happy and I want to be free. 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 As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. We're going to get to that in a second.
I know.
Why we picked that, but I want, because you, Greg, wanted to wrap up the last topic of Dan Kelly and his very bad press week.
Well, one of the things that you have to do when you apply to be a judge is, when he applied to be a judge, was submit writings. And one of the more controversial things he has said in his writings are how affirmative action and slavery are comparable. And this is in his judicial application, and this is what it says. This is a quote. Affirmative action and slavery differ, obviously, in significant ways, but it's more a question of degree than principle, for they both spring from the same taproot. What does that even mean, dude? Danny boy, make me understand your plan. I don't get it. But meanwhile, on Twitter, everybody GOP-wise is just saying, no jail, Janet. Like, that's their big thing. The fact this guy can barely put his robe on in the morning is insanity to me.
Dexter from the 920 makes an interesting point, though, while we're on this. Dan Kelly and a lot of conservatives in politics, being unqualified doesn't matter to conservative voters.
Yeah.
So why even spend the ad money pointing it out anymore?
But is that who the ads are trying to convince?
It's more the middle people, if there are any middle people.
And wouldn't you think middle people would care if, like, oh, this guy maybe can't do this job well?
I feel like with a judge's race, you could find some moderates or undecideds. And I think running an unqualified theme campaign on him, while not making it your centerpiece, although it could be the centerpiece, is something you could still do. But I think this guy is like a Brett Kavanaugh. It's not someone the GOP loves. They just don't care. He'll do whatever they say because he doesn't understand the law. He thinks everything comes from, it's God, the Constitution, Dan Kelly's mouth. That's it.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Put that on a pillow. Empowered women, empower women.
And on the side, just Dan Kelly's face.
That curly hair and his cape. All right. Any closing thoughts before we move on to Fraggle Rock?
I just hope that Judge Protasiewicz's campaign team really utilizes the messaging over the next couple of weeks, because there's so much material to work with. So much.
That is what is... Because on one side for her, and granted, I understand that I'm biased. What they have... She's an activist judge, which also, mm-hmm. how do you cut, like, kettle meat pot... Because this guy has actually worked for Wisconsin Right to Life. He's worked for the Republican Party. His last campaign was run out of the GOP office. So it's like, how are you? So like, this woman has never been employed by the Democratic Party. So how are you going to accuse her of that and not look in the mirror? And then the other one is that she's soft on crime.
Well, now they've tied her to Mandela. Now every other tweet is, well, you know, if it's good enough for Mandela Barnes, it must be good for no jail Janet. What are you doing? And this is coming from Brian Schimming, the head of the GOP, who I constantly razz and troll on Twitter, saying, I thought you were going to be more conscientious. I thought you were going to bring more thought to the GOP in Wisconsin. You're not. I just keep calling him a C-list Trumper.
Haven't been blocked yet?
Nope. None of them block me. I'm not important enough. I've been trying to get Robin Voss on both of the counts to block me for years.
Not happen.
I don't even think he reads them.
I think, no, I've been told that he reads everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I can't say who told me this, gave me the inside scoop that Jim Steinke, who's now retired, doesn't read anything. Like, just ignores all the social media stuff while he was in office. Whereas Robin Voss reads everything. And it's like probably part of the reason why he's so bitter.
Oh, that's good to
know.
Isn't
that interesting?
I am in your mind, Robin. Swim in my fire. For I am you and you are me.
I'm just trying to find. There was something. Yeah. Okay. We can move on. But
All right. This is a fascinating article. It's a little bit like science-y. And so I don't even know if I fully understand it. But I just could not get it's about stalagmite.
Got it right, kiddo.
Stalagmite in Cave of Mounds.
Yep,
no.
Cave of the Mounds.
Cave of the Mounds being what? Top five destination for school field trips, probably.
I'm
just looking at the pictures, brought back memories. You dig up and you touch the things and there's the water dripping and all the cool stuff at Cave of the Mounds.
Do they still have the Smurfs in that little section? There was one where they turn a light on their Smurfs.
I mean, I haven't been in a really long time.
We should do a field trip.
I would do a field trip.
Another thing for the bucket list.
Put it on the bucket list. But the headline, this is from WPR, stalagmite from Cave of the Mounds shows evidence of sudden warming during last ice age. So the actual research paper that scientists were doing was basically looking at the stalagmite. I said it once. I said stalagmite once, and now I can't get it out of my head. Stalagmite. And looking, you know, just like all history, even when it's millions of years ago, looking at where we've been to maybe inform us on where we're going. And this being rapid changes in climate and being able to look at the layers of rock and what they can tell us. And so they're looking at that. But I just couldn't not think that stalagmite, also found in Down in Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock, of course.
Which I haven't thought of.
That was a really
years.
Long. That was a long walk right there. I just think it's so interesting that weather from all over the world has made its way to this area. It's just science blows my mind.
Well, because that's what they were able to, with like pretty high certainty, precipitation from Mexico that had like made its way to Wisconsin, which they can tell from this rock. I think that was the thing, trying to wrap my head around the thing, what they were describing in the article of what, like, how do you, the people who can look at stalagmite or any rocks and be
or
like,
or stalactites.
That too. And like, this tells a story and these are the tests I need to run and what the sediment layers tell me and just all of the things. And it's like, oh, I'm going to, it's a rock. to me, it's like, cool.
Thank goodness for really smart people who understand carbon dating and all of those things and sedimentary layers.
And who can pronounce stalagmite.
With consistency.
With consistency.
There it is.
Josh Egan just put on the live stream. Stalactite.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Tight to the ceiling, stalagmite might touch the ceiling.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I was taught that as a kid.
And you remembered it?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, I've also don't remember much math, so.
The amount of stuff I've forgotten over time is depressing.
It gets better.
What, it comes back?
No.
Oh, it gets less depressing?
You'll just forget that it depresses you.
Wow.
All right. Well, that will do it for the first newsy hour of the day. When we come back, how was the last year for women on this International Women's Day?
I've got thoughts.
We all have some thoughts. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.